Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak at Shalom. We're now beginning our study of the second chapter of Masechet Arachin on Daf Zayin Amud Bet. And we are going to look at the first Mishnah of this parak, broken up into three sections. First section, Ein Arachin Pachut Misela. And as I pointed out in the introduction on the help page, our parak is going to take us through a tour of many different areas of Shas. We will do very little of Arachin in this chapter. We'll see a lot of relatively unexplored avenues of discussion. Ein Arachin Pachut Misela. There is nobody who is assessed at less than a sela to be given, one shekel, v'lo yatera 50 sela, and no more than 50. And this is going to open up the Mishnah's series of tangents to, as we saw in the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechet, parallel passages in Tanaitic literature with the range presented. No more than this, no less than this. Ketzad, how does this play out? Natan Sela v'Hashir. And it's not clear from the Mishnah itself whether or not someone giving less than the full amount is giving it based on his own decision or assessment, or whether he's being assessed by the Kohen as the Torah suggests. But in any case, if he gave one Sela because that's all he could afford, and he became wealthy, and on 10 klum, he doesn't owe anything more because he was Yotze the Erech, even though he owed 50, if he could only give one, and he gave one, if he became rich later, he is off the hook. Pachut misela v'ashir, but if he gave less than a sela, and then he became wealthy, no 10 chamishim sela, and has to pay full, because he wasn't Yotze. Hayubadav b'yadav chamesh slaim. Interesting problem. What if he has 5 slaim? You don't have 50, you don't have the full amount, you give one. Meaning, according to Rameir, there's 50 or there's one. Chum say he has to give all 5, or he's not Yotze. Ein narachin pachut misela ve'yolo yater chamishim sela. The repetition of that phrase, the Gemara will attribute to Chachamim to make the point that 50 to 1 is a range, not the two alternatives. Okay, Erachim Bachut Misal, Menalan Dichtiv, Cholakachaya, Beshakal Kodesh, Kolachin Shatam Arich Lo Yubish Chutin Mishekel. We already saw this drasha in the first parak, and that is that the mention of all Arachim are done with a shekel, pointing out that the lowest is one shekel. V'lata Chamashim Slaim Dichtiv Chamashim. Chamashim is the highest amount, which is males between 20 and 60. Okay, Yubi Yadav Chamisha. My time in Rameir, why does Rameir say you give one? Tiv chamishim or tiv shekel, because it says 50 for a full amount, and it says a shekel. Or chamishim or shekel. There's two avenues here. Either you give the proper amount, or you give this shekel, which is another proper amount. Rabbanan says, Ahu l'chol arachin shatam arich lo yubchutin mishekel u'da'ata. Rabbanan say that pasuk is there only to tell you that the lowest amount is a shekel, but not to say that that's the only alternative to full amount. But if you have more, after all, the pasuk clearly says that the kohen assesses you, and then you pay based on what you're able to pay, which means it could be more than one shekel. You have 5, you give 5. For Meir says, ahu yad hanoder v'lo yad hanidar. He says, Ashita Sigyad hanoder is there to say that we look only at the worth and value and assets of the fellow made the commitment, and not the fellow about whom the commitment was made, Huda'ata, which seems fairly straightforward, except if you think about the way that the whole issue of Ha'amadava Ha'aracha is understood, it's not about the committer, but it's about the committed, and that's why Goses was not included, and a mate was not included as a target of Arachin. So this is certainly a reasonable Havamina that Rameir says the Pasuk is coming to deflect. Rabbanan says, Lav Mela Shamina, they say, we agree with you, that's fine. The Pasuk is coming to say you assess the value, the assets of the committer. So what's the implication of that? Techad Yadoma Segesh, Komine, if he has enough, then he has to pay that amount. You know, there's no point in assessing somebody unless you're going to find out what they're able to pay. I'm about a Ba'ava. So he raises the following interesting problem. Hayu Yadav Chamesh Slaim, let's say he only had 5. V'yamar Erki Alai, and he said, I'm giving my value. And let's say the guy's between 20 and 60, so it's a guy, so it's 50. Way more than he has. And before he did anything else, he said, again, Erki Alai. And then he said, I'm going to first pay off my second debt. And gives 4 out of the 5. And then gives 1 and says, I still owe for the first debt. Here's the one I've got left. He's Yotze both, and even if he gets richer later, he owes nothing. My Tama, what's his argument? Let's say a fellow has two Baalei Chov, two he owes money, two creditors. One has an earlier claim, one has a later claim. The rule is that if the one for later claim comes and collects, even though that gets in the way of the earlier Baal Chov's ability to collect, the second's collection is invalid. So therefore, when he paid four for the second piece, that's like a Baal Chov Me'uchar collecting. And therefore, Be'ina D'yayiv L'shnia M'shabi L'rishona. When he gave the four for the second debt, he really didn't have any to give to the second debt because they were all owed to the first. So he gave whatever he was able to give, plus. And Be'ina D'yayiv L'rishona too lately. And by the time he gave the one for the second debt, he had no more to give. So therefore, he had given all. So even according to Rabbanan, he would be Yotze. However, Natana Bala Rishonah V'chad L'Shnia, if he did it the opposite way, he said, okay, I'm going to give four for my first debt, and the one left for the second. Yedei Shnia Yatzah, Yedei Rishonah Lo Yatzah. He's only fulfilled the second debt. Why? Kulu M'shabdan L'Rishonah, because they were all owed to the first. Therefore, when he only gave four for the first, he wasn't Yotze. He should have given all five. He gave one for the second, that was proper, because that's all he had left. So now, by Rav Ada Bar Ava. So Rav Ada Bar Ava, who came up with this interesting sort of twist on the problem, then asked a question. Hayubi Adu Chamesh Slaim. Same case, he had five slaim. But now he didn't say Erki Alai and then Erki Alai. V'yamashne Erkai Alai. He said it together. I owe two of mine. Two of my values. B'vatachat. Mahu. Do we say, Kevin B'vatachat Nadar, since he made the neder all at one shot, Kiyadadi Tafsan, then both claims come together. So Yaiv Taiti Palga Lahai Vitaiti Palga Hai, when he pays five, each one gets two and a half and he's Yotze. Odima Kuluchazilahai Kuluchazilahai. Maybe you could say all five and way more are owed to each debt, and therefore he hasn't really paid either debt by not giving all five to one. And therefore he owes them both, take them. Okay, Ein Barachin Pachut Misal V'Deyatera Tulamali, as I mentioned in introducing the Mishnah, the repetition of this line is there, Kamashmalan Pachut Misal U'Deleika Yatera Sela Ika. Instead of tell you that less than a Sela doesn't exist, but more than a Sela exists, Yatera Chamashim U'Deleika, and there's no more than 50, Pachut Mi'Chamashim Ika, but there is less than 50, meaning between 1 and 50 is a range, Ustamik Rabbanan, supporting the Rabbanan. For this next piece, the second piece of Mishnah Aleph, which continues with the range theme, you have to take a look at the relatively long note that is on the help sheet about Nida and Ziva. And I won't repeat it here in the Shiur except briefly. Remember that when a woman first sees Dam, the first time in her life, that starts a seven-day period called Yemei Nida. And Nida Oraita from the Ikra Din, the minute the woman sees Dam, she counts 7 days. She can be bleeding the whole time. As long as on the last day, at the end of the day, she is not bleeding, she goes to the mikveh that night, and she's tohara. There's no korban involved. If, on the other hand, after those 7 days, there's the next 11-day period, which is called Yemei Ziva. If during that period she sees Dam, if she sees Dam for 1 or 2 days, she has to keep one fully clean day and go to the mikveh. That's called Zavak Tana. If she sees 3 days in a row, she's a Zavak Dola and needs to wait 7 full clean days and then go to the mikveh the next day. We practice in our own halacha already for 1,600 years, Rav Zeira reports already, that we practice that the minute a woman sees any dam, she considers herself to be a Zavak Dola and waits Shiva Nakim, etc. Now, the circumstance the Mishnah is dealing with is if you have a To'ah, meaning a woman who got confused about where she was in her cycle, meaning she had seen dam, and at some point, and lost track of the days, and then saw Dam again, and didn't know where she was. How do we fix her so that she's back in a place where she can start counting again from the beginning? Parenthetically, there's the 7-11, should be understood that once a woman sees Dam, and then she has 7 days of Nida, then the next 11 days are days of Ziva, and let's say she doesn't see any Dam then, and let's say typically she doesn't see Dam for another 10 days, a 28-day cycle, she's then sort of in, the minute she sees Dam next, she starts Nida again. So it could be on day 19, it could be on day 28, it could be on day 35, whenever it is, starts the 7-11 again. Okay, ein petach betoah, petach here doesn't mean like a nedarim, but petach means a starting point. Pachut mishiva, the smallest amount she'd have to wait if she was confused would be 7 days. V'lo yater al shiva esrei, and the most would be 17. Let's see how this works. Tanu Rabbanan, to'ah she'amra yom achad tamei ra'iti. If a woman says, I don't know where I am in the cycle and I saw 1 day of dam, Pitcha Shivasar. Because the most conservative thing, meaning the worst possible scenario would be if that was day one of Nida. So therefore, she should wait 17 clean days, and then we know for sure that at the worst, she is, that she is certainly now, the next time she sees Dam, starting another Nida cycle, and can go to 7-11 again. Shnei Amim Tamereiti, let's say she saw 2 days in a row. Pitcha Shivasar, she still has to wait 7 days, because it might have been day 11 of Ziva and day 1 of Nida. And on the page, I call them N11 and Z1 as an example. That's Z11 and N1. Shloshemim Tamei Raiti, she says, I saw 3, she still needs 17, because it might have been days 10 and 11, and then day 1 of Nida, and therefore she has to wait 17 days. But now it's going to change. Arbayamim Tamei Raiti, Pitcha Shishasar, Chamashayimim Tamei Raiti, Pitcha Chamishasar, Shayimim Tamei Raiti, Pitcha Arbaasar, Shivayimim Tamei Raiti, Pitcha Shloshasar, Shivayimim Tamei Raiti, Pitcha Shneimasar, Tishayimim Raiti, Pitcha Acharasar, Asayim Tamim Raiti Pitcha Sarachar, Asar Pitcha Tisha, Shtemasar Pitcha Shmona, Shloshasar Pitcha Shiva. And there we go. All the way down to if she had seen 13 days of Dam, then all she has to wait is 7. And here's the basic principle. The only way that we can construct a scenario where she'd have to wait the longest amount of days is if she saw into her Yemei Nida, and then she'd have to wait for the next Nida cycle to start. So the way that that would work is if she saw 3 days, we might say it might have been days 10, 11, and 1. Then if she saw 4 days, we can't say it was days 9, 10, 11, and 1, because then she'd just use Shiva Nakim and start over. So rather it would say 10, 11, 1, and 2. Once we got to day 2 of Nida, then she only has to wait 16 more days to get back to the cycle. And then if it's 5 days, it would be 10, 11, 1, 2, 3, etc. What if she saw 9 days? Then we would say it's 10, 11, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. So that is there, and she would need just 11 days in order to be back at Nida. What if she saw for 10 days? Then what you would say is the worst possible scenario she saw is days 10 and 11, 1 through 7, that's 9, and then day 1 of Ziva. So then she would need to wait 10 days. If, let's say, she saw 11 days, you would say it was 10, 11, 1 through 7, and then 1, 2. So she'd have to wait 9 days to be finished with the Ziva cycle. And then, at the very most, it would be 12 or 13 days. Either way, we would say that she would have to wait now until the end of the Ziva cycle. So if it was 12 days, we would say it was 2 before, 7, and another 3 in Ziva, in which case she has to wait 7 days. Or if it was 13, we would say it was 2, 7, and another, and any point beyond that is going to then be, need 7 days of Nikim, because it's Shiva Nikim, because of Zava Gdola. And there's the reason. She'ain't petach b'to'a pachot mishiva v'lo yater al shiva asar. There we go. And it's all laid out on the page. Amar v'ana barav alo abba. So he asked the following question. Lama li kule hai. What do I need all these numbers for? Timni shiva v'tishtari. Anytime a woman sees more than 3 days, let her just count shiva nakim, which is exactly what our women do, and she's mutter. So amar lo litkuna l'day nida pitcha kamrinan. We're not just trying to make her tahora l'ba'ala. This time, we're trying to put her back on the calendar. The only way to do that is to count up all these days, and then say the next time she sees Dam, she's back at day one, and don't lose count next time. Tanu Rabbanan, kola to'ot zavot. We have the bizarre braita. All those who are errant are zavot. Meviot korban ven rechal. They bring the korban. As I point out in the note, zavag dola brings a korban. Veino nechal. It can't be eaten, because it might not be a proper chatat. Except for the last two on our list, that certainly had 7 days of, that certainly needed Shiva Nakim, that were certainly Savak Dola. So now we ask, Atu Kol HaTorot Zavot, is it true that anybody who's errant is a Zava? And if somebody only saw for 1 day or 2 days, they have to bring a Korban, that's not true at all. Ella, Kol Zavot HaTorot Mevior Korban, any Zava who is in error and is bringing a Korban, except for those who have to wait 7 or 8 days, which means that they certainly were Zavagdola and therefore they bring a korban and it's eaten. In other cases, we're not sure if they're chayav the korban, and therefore it would not be able to be eaten because, as Rashi points out, the malika done on the bird, because it's typically the malika done on a bird, if it's not a korban, is really makes it a nevelah. Okay, the last bit of Mishnah Aleph goes to the world of Nigaim. Ein ben Nigaim pachut mishavu achad. In the world of Tzara'at, of Nigaim, there is no less than 1 week of quarantine, v'lo yater shlosha shavuot, and there's no more than 3 weeks of quarantine. Now, what's that about? Pachut mishavu nigei adam, that's when it talks about human Nigaim on flesh. V'lo yater shlosha shavuot, what's 3 weeks? Nigei batim, that's the Nigaim of the houses. So Amar Papa, he invokes the pasuk Tzidkatcha Kareyel Eilu Nigei Adam, meaning you have great generosity. You gave people the chance that within 1 week they can clarify their situation. Mishpatecha Tom Rabba, but your laws are very deep. Eilu Nigei Batim, that's the houses. That needs a lot of time and investigation. It could be 3 weeks. Now Pashtei Krab Maiktiv, but what's the simple read of the pasuk talking about? Because it's not talking about Nigaim. Amar Yehuda Yomalei Tzidkatcha Kareyel Miyuchal Amo Lefrei Mishpatecha Tom Rabba. He says that it means that were it not for your great generosity, we couldn't stand up to your mishpat. Rabba Amar, he says something else. Tzidkatcha kareyel mishpatecha tom rabba. Meaning because you bury your judgment very deep, therefore there's room for generosity. In other words, you protect us by not calling us on all our sins, as it were, or burying them away. Mike and Apology, so what are they differing about here when it comes to theology? There's a parallel machloket going on at the same time in Eretz Yisrael about the following. What is it that God does to justify us in din? Ditmar Abelazar Mar Kovesh. He says he buries away the sins so that automatically the scale is going to work in our favor. So Chanina Omeno say, no, he lifts up the sins so that the scale goes down. Rabba Kar Abelazar. So Rabba, who said because you bury away the sins, therefore, that's great generosity. He's saying like Rabbi Lazar that it is kovesh. For Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Hanina, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that were it not for your generosity, we couldn't stand up to your judgments. He's saying Rabbi Yosef Hanina, which is you lift up the sins, and so you bear them. Okay, we're going to pick up with in the next sugya, which is going to take us over the course of one longer podcast. We're going to take a look at the issue of Ibur HaChodesh and about fixing the calendar. The meantime, you should have a wonderful day.